Hey, welcome everybody to Off to the Races. We're doing this podcast style, and it's our Kentucky Derby edition of the podcast. My name is Frank Vespi. Next X period of time, we're going to be talking Derby. We're going to dig in horse by horse here, and I have gathered our august handicapping panel with us, our racing biz correspondents and friends. We're going to have Linda Dougherty, former handicapper for the
Trentonian.
I always screw that up. Is going to be joining us. Nick Hahn, who writes the eponymous Nick's Picks, which once upon a time was your path to riches at Colonial Downs, will be here. And of course, Derby Bill Watson, the former Colonial Downs on-air handicapper, all are in the house here on the Off to the Races podcast, looking at the Kentucky Derby. And let's just jump right in and do this. I ask each of you to kind of give me your sense of, you know, the overall three-year-old scene and what you have seen so far this year from this group of sophomores. And Derby Bill, let's start with you.
Yes, sir. The sophomores have been producing about as poorly as I've seen in the last 5 years. So the favorites in this race has definitely had issues. The second place has had issues. And most handicappers have had issues with these horses more than the last 5 years, obviously, with the likes of Nyquist and, American Pharoah. This one has everybody's head spinning.
So it sounds like it's probably a year to look outside the favorites. Nick, do you agree with that?
I think so. I even wonder if the favorite is going to be the favorite by the time the race goes off, just kind of doing a very unofficial poll of people picking the race. There's some love for Classic Empire, but it seems to be well spread amongst the group. You know, it's been a hard group to follow. As soon as you think, you know, everyone has shown a little bit of consistency, but at the same time, each one has stubbed their toe to generate some concern somewhere along the way. So it's kind of a hard group to separate. At the same time, just kind of a novelty. And I think this is something, you know, by the time many people listen to this podcast, I'm sure it'll be, being written about more and more and more, is just the return of Calumet. Three horses in the Derby after decades of near silence in this race. I mean, that's really phenomenal. The great comeback of this legendary farm in Kentucky.
It is good to see, although I must say we miss the old devil's red and blue silks of Calumet now that we have black and gold chevrons, but certainly the Calumet a fixture for many, many years on the Derby scene. Linda, what say you about this group of three-year-olds?
Oh, I totally agree with Nick and Bill. I think this is a really mediocre crop. There's a couple of horses I really like, but by and large, none of them are going, in my opinion, are going. I think we're going to have three different winners of the Triple Crown races this year, and I think there's not going to be a standout, I don't think. And Nick is right. There's a couple of horses in the Derby field that have even have their drawbacks, you know, with Gervin and the Quarter Crack, which is concerning. This field is not very interesting, I don't think.
But let's start. Let's kind of go through the list and let's start from the rail here. The one horse, looking at Lee, 20-1. One of a couple of Asmussen trainees here. Most recently, third in the Grade One Arkansas Derby, prepping for this. Has a couple wins to his credit in his career, but several defeats in graded events. Bill, give us some insight on looking at Lee.
Well, usually you have to have Bodemeister-type speed to get out of the one hole in the Kentucky Derby, which pretty much produces about one or two Derby winners every 50 years, I think, with Ferdinand. And back in – before that was 86, and back in when I was a little tight betting at 3 years old at the track in 1963. So two winners out of the one hole in the Derby lead up to a mess. But looking at Lucky, he's a slow, breaking closer. So it won't affect that horse. And with Hall of Fame trainer Asmussen, might have this one in the superfecta for some people, flying late.
Yeah, he certainly, if you're going to see him in the picture at all, it's going to be at the eighth pole and closer to the wire, because he's going to be nowhere at all in the early going of this race. The two horses, Thunder Snow, the UAE Derby winner by a nostril, and another for Saeed Bin Saror and Godolphin, trying yet again to tackle America's greatest race with prepping in the UAE, in Dubai. Nick, any insights on this sort of mysterious runner showing up on our shores for the first time?
Other than this could be the year that it finally happens, it's a lot of handicappers just immediately draw a line through the UAE Derby winner just because it hadn't happened before. But we've seen those walls break down before with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and winner and some of the other items, things about horses that you know have kind of been broken here in the last few years. So a lot of people kind of, in a year like this, it makes you look at this horse a little bit more. But I going into the Derby a month out, I kind of keep two lists. I keep a list of exotics and I keep a list of horses I think will win. And I moved Thunder Snow down today. I'll use him probably in the second line of my trifectas. I think he's that good, but I don't think he I just have to see it happen first before I start betting it.
That's Thunder Snow. The three horse is Fast and Accurate, who I suspect it would be the answer to and probably the only answer to the trivia question: what Kentucky Derby horse in history made his career debut at Presque Isle Downs? Fast and Accurate most recently won the Spiral to punch his ticket here, but does not yet possess a victory on dirt. Made only one start on regular dirt and ran up the track in that. Linda, what can you tell us about the Pennsylvania bred?
I think he's slow. I think he can bring up the rear possibly if you want to take a bet on who's going to come in last. There's really, to me, nothing really to like about this horse. He's excelled on the synthetic and on turf, but he and the speed figures are pretty mediocre. I mean, he was running. Well, he broke his maiden for a maiden claiming race. I mean, that's really, and he was running in state bred races at Presque Isle. So I think they're really taking a leap with this horse. And, I wish I could say something good about him, except that he's a PA bred and he's got a good trainer. Mike Maker's, pretty sharp. But beyond that, he's a definite pass for me.
Doesn't he have to finish in at least 15th to make the Pennsylvania Derby?
One thing we do know is Kendall Hansen, his owner, who is the perhaps slightly crazy doctor, has said that they will be on the lead early. He said, we're sending. So he may complicate the pace, if nothing else. Bill, let's come back to you. Untrapped as the four horse, another Asmussen runner, sixth in the Arkansas Derby, third in the Rebel, second to Gervin twice in the LeConte and the Risen Star. What do you think about Untrapped?
Well, I wish it was a sprint, but the Derby is a mile and a quarter. This horse is more of a sprinter out of a trap shot. His most success has been at 7 furlongs. I just don't think he can get the distance there, and I'm not proud of my Hall of Fame trainer, Mr. Asmussen, in this race. I think he would have been better in a mile race.
But everybody takes a swing at the Derby, including, we just talked about Fast and Accurate. Kendall Hansen put up $200,000 to supplement in. So Everybody takes a swing when they can. Trainer, who has taken a lot of swings at this race and not had too much success in it, although he has success everywhere else, is Todd Pletcher, who trains the five horse, Always Dreaming, 5-1 second choice on the morning line. Ultra impressive winner of the Florida Derby. Nick, what are you thinking of when you think of Always Dreaming?
I thought about Always Dreaming for about an hour today, trying to separate him with Eventually, who was going to become my Derby pick. I really like this horse. I remember Pletcher at one time said that he couldn't win the Derby, and then he finally won it with Super Saver. So in the end, I just didn't kind of like the post pace scenario that was being set up for him. I think he's around a lot of speed. I think being on the inside is not really the best for him. You hear stories about his bullet works at Churchill Downs this week. Has he kind of been working a little bit too hard? You know, it seems to be a bit of a concern. At least it's a bit of talk. I don't know if it's a concern, but I have him second. And I almost went to a coin flip. He almost was my number one. And in fact, all this week I was thinking I would probably take him number one. But I really like this horse. I just had to find something to separate him with the horse I eventually went with, and I had to look real hard to find it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You point up the pace scenario. The Derby pace often very fast. Not sure it'll be as super fast here, but he's surrounded by other speed horses, Fast and Accurate in the 3, State of Honor, our next horse, in the 6 hole. State of Honor was bested by Always Dreaming in the Florida Derby, has placed now in 3 graded stakes, but hadn't won any of them. And Linda, for some reason, we keep coming back to you on these long shots. What do you think about State of Honor?
Well, I guess in his defense, if you're playing exotics, he looks like a good one to throw in there because he does seem to hit the board a lot. But and apparently he's been training really well this week. He's a big horse. He's by a Pennsylvania Derby winner to Honor and Serve. He's got a great trainer. So, and at 30-1, you could do a lot worse. I mean, like I said, he's one of the ones I have on my list to complete some of the exotics, but he's only has a maiden win to his credit, and that's one of the negatives. But you know, he's been second, third since then, so maybe something to like there.
Let's stay with you for a minute here too, and let's give you Gervin, the 7 horse, 15-1 now. I, for like 3 years in a row, a number of years ago, kept ending up on the Louisiana Derby winner, and eventually it was beaten into me not to bet on the Louisiana Derby winner. But this guy sure hasn't done a single thing wrong in his career. 3-4, lost by less than a length, his one defeat, won the Risen Star, won the Louisiana Derby for trainer Joe Sharp. But he has been dealing with a quarter crack issue, which they claim is now healed. What do you think about Gervin, Linda?
To me, he's an automatic toss. He is talented, but a horse that has that kind of a glitch coming into this race, I just don't like him. I just remember Unbridled Song a number of years ago. He was battling a foot issue that whole week or so prior to the Derby, and they had that. I don't know whether Gervin's going to have a bar shoe or a glue-on shoe. I haven't read up on that, but whatever it is, I mean, Unbridled Song couldn't hit it, was finished at the top of the stretch, and this horse might run well, but I just can't bet a horse with that kind of how do you want to put it, infirmity before probably one of the biggest races he's ever, you know, in his life. So I'm a pass. Plus, I didn't really appreciate the way Joe Sharp treated the media when before this quarter crack was revealed. He was, you know, he was hanging up on people. He was acting all defensive, and you kind of knew something was up. But I just thought it wasn't classy of him to the way he was acting, you know, when people were inquiring what was going on. So that's another reason why I don't like him.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly, nothing about the way they've handled this horse over the last couple of weeks gives you a lot of confidence that they feel good about where they are with him, and that he's been so short-tempered may contribute to that as well. Nick, the 8 horse, Hence, flashy winner of the Sunland Derby, enters in good form with that big win. And he's kind of, you know, a lot of people are talking about him as kind of the buzzy horse, the it horse. What do you think about Hence for Steve Asmussen?
I think he is somewhat legitimate. I'm going to use him in the exotics. I haven't really liked the way Drew has been riding recently. I've just kind of watched since Churchill Downs opened, watched some of his mounts this week, and just didn't really at least thought I saw some mistakes. Coming out of the Sunland Derby, of course, Mind That Bird, I think, came out of that race, and you know, even though he didn't even win it, you know, was obviously won the Derby. So I think, you know, I think he's a good play. I'm gonna choose others in terms of you know, high in my exotic bets. I don't know. It's a good, for me, he's kind of like a good opportunity to take other people's money.
Now, one of the horses he thrashed when he won the Sunland Derby, one of the things that people point out about Hence is that it's pretty rare for a horse to win the Kentucky Derby without a race in April. His last race was at Sunland on March 26th. But one of the horses he thrashed in that race is the 9 horse IRAP, who as a maiden at 30-1 turned around and won the Grade 2 Bluegrass at Keeneland. Bill, what do you think about IRAP in this spot?
Yeah, stunner at Keeneland. That was a solid field in the Bluegrass for the first time in a while. A solid field that might lead to getting in the exotics here. IRAP is the front running. Colt took advantage of that and just ripped the field in the Bluegrass. But usually the Bluegrass doesn't win the Kentucky Derby, but it's great to have the Bluegrass back on dirt. So it was a more proper prep the last couple of years for this race, and I'm not knocking the connections of Doug O'Neill and Mario Gutierrez as looking for another.
All right. A horse, the 10 horse is a horse. What's that?
You need more?
No, you're good. You're good. The 10 horse, Gunavera. Here's a horse that hasn't done much wrong. What am I missing from Bill here?
That's his pick.
No, I need some Venezuelan translations if they make the winner's circle.
For are you? So you're on Gunavera?
Oh, yeah. Javier Castellani's first trip to the winner's circle with a bunch of Venezuelan ex-kidnapped folks. You got to love them. The story is amazing. And the horse is good. More importantly, the horse is good.
I love Bill's question on whether he was named after a venereal disease or not.
Hey, I'll call him gonorrhea if he wins the derby.
And suddenly this took a turn.
There is a 7-second delay on this, isn't there?
Bill, for you, we might make it 20. So, Gunavera swept through the three, was in all three of the Florida preps, winning the Fountain of Youth, coming in second the Holy Bull, third in the Florida Derby. Hadn't done much wrong, has run nothing but good races, and if the pace is lively, he's one who's probably going to be heard from late. And I guess, Bill, that's where you're ending up, is he's going to be running late in this race.
If it rains and if the track's a little bit wet, it also favors him passing up a lot of horses late in this race. And a classic last to first type horse here, but he won't start last. I mean, looking at Leo starting last, and Gunavera is very capable. As you said, he's never run a bad race.
Yeah, no, he's a hard hitting, dialed in, kind of one of the hot young sires right now. The 11 horse Battle of Midway, 30-1 for Jerry Hollendorfer. Smart Strike Colt, most recently the narrowly missing runner-up in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. Nick, any love for Battle of Midway?
Yeah, a little bit of love. I think he's lightly raced. This would be one that breaks the, you know, didn't race as a two-year-old streak that goes all the way back, I think, to Apollo in the 1800s or so. So there's some smart strikes against him, pardon the pun, because that's who he's sired by. But, you know, can't pick the Santa Anita Derby, you know, the West Coast horse. They've done well recently. Just does not seem like the same group that it usually is. So I'm going to take a bit of a pass on Battle. He'll be in my exotics, but real low on the ticket.
Yeah, and you're pointing out about the West Coast horses this year. The best of them isn't here. His Mastery got injured after winning one of the prep races out there. So certainly a puzzle for handicappers is how you're going to handle the West Coast horses, if at all, here in the Kentucky Derby. And Linda, somehow we managed to get all the 50-1s your way. Sonneteer, the still a maiden after 10 races. Last two starts second in the Rebel, fourth, but beat just two lengths in the Arkansas Derby. So in good form to the extent that a 10-race maiden can be in good form. It's the DeSormo brothers back. They were the team behind Exaggerator last year, who won the Preakness after running second in the Kentucky Derby. What say you about Sonneteer?
You're going to think I'm crazy, but I actually like this horse. And I watched the today to get ready for tonight. I looked at the Arkansas Derby a couple of times, and he was on the outside, and he, like Gunavera, he comes from far back, but he was it was kind of a mad scramble towards the end of the Arkansas. Well, actually, in a lot of portions of the Arkansas Derby, there was a lot of horses across the track, and even coming to the wire, it seemed like it was like a mad scramble. But he was on the far outside, and he did make up ground late. So, and when I say I like him, I like him to use in my exotics. I don't think the Kentucky Derby is the best spot to break your maiden, but he has good connections. He's a Calumet horse. He's got a nice pedigree. And if you ever see a picture of him, he looks like the Black Stallion. He's real big and dark. And so, you know, just take a shot.
Yeah, he's a son of Midnight Loot, so he comes by the looks, honestly. J-Boy's Echo, the 13 horse, is 20-1, won the Grade 3 Gotham, and looked good doing it, but was pretty much nowhere. He was fourth, pretty well beaten fourth, in the Bluegrass Stakes behind three rivals here, IRAT, Practical Joke, and McCracken. But he looks good. I saw a couple of pictures of him today. He looks good. He looks like he's doing well at Churchill. What do you think about J-Boy's Echo, Bill?
I like the connections. Mr. Dale Romans, and if Robert Alvarado was up on this horse, they won with Silvermax here in the Virginia Derby, and very fond of him. Their horse, I'm not as fond of. Got a dream trick and trip in that Gotham on the rail and just stole that race. And then flopped in the Bluegrass against a much better field. Obviously, the switch of jockeys to Saez is not really much of a downgrade there. So you're getting Luis Saez in the Derby. But tough break for Robbie Alvarado, and tough break for this horse because he's not getting any of my cash.
I know he's going to be upset about that, too. The favorite is number 14, Classic Empire, son of Pioneer of the Nile, was last year's two-year-old champ. Kind of puked in the Holy Bull in his 2017 debut. Made amends rallying late to win the Arkansas Derby. He's 4-1 on the morning line for Mark Cassie. Nick, Classic Empire, yes or no?
The short answer is no. but I think he is. I think he deserves to be the favorite. I think he's done enough. You know, if you're looking at accomplishment, if you're looking at breeding Pioneer of the Nile out of a cat thief mare, I mean, that's something that, you know, checks off. You know, I think he's deserving to be. I looked at that Arkansas Derby. I wasn't impressed with the win, and I just kind of wonder if he has done enough recently. He's one that won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He has beat a lot of horses in this race that he'll be in the starting gate with. So I think he deserves to be the morning line favorite. I think this is a year where people will jump off that. As I did, and I initially had him a little bit higher up, and I just went back and looked at that race, and you know, you got to separate in the Derby. You got to find ways of separating. You can't bet them all, so you look for ways to separate, and I just didn't like some of his recent performances.
Yeah, you also have one other issue with him, which is. He had the kind of weird bout where he wouldn't train. He didn't, you know, refuse to train a couple of times. And so there's certainly a lot of questions on Classic Empire, who is obviously a very talented racehorse. And whether you want to, I agree with you, Nick. I'd like to feel more comfortable. If this guy's the favorite, if I wanted to be on the favorite, I'd want to be a little more comfortable that he's going to run his best race here. Another horse that has a somewhat similar resume is the 15 horse McCracken, 5-1 on the morning line for trainer Ian Wilkes. He won his first four races, including the Sam Davis at Tampa, but then he had some minor health issues, which caused him to miss some training, miss the Tampa Bay Derby, came back, ran third in the Bluegrass, and I don't know, he may not have been totally cranked up. To me, that was not a super great effort. He kind of loomed a threat and then flattened out. Linda, what's your take on McCracken?
I like McCracken, especially since he's 3-for-3 at Churchill. To me, that's an important stat. He has a – talk about pedigree. He's by Gosapper, who's by Awesome again. He's out of a Seeking the Gold Mare. So he can run all day, and he's not a real big horse. He's very handy, and he's got, to me, the right running style that wins derbies. He's like off the first flight, like if fast and accurate is going to go and take with him whoever, you know, is going to go with him. I think McCracken will be sitting in a nice spot. And I thought that, you know, he was too beat up in the Bluegrass. I mean, I think he might have gotten a lot out of that race. So I do like McCracken a lot.
Okay, McCracken. 16 is Taprit. Taprit, 5th in the Bluegrass, kind of nowhere in that race. Did win the Tampa Bay Derby impressively while setting a track record. He's 20-1 on the morning line for Pletcher and jockey Jose Ortiz. Bill, what do you think about Taprit?
Yeah, this is a very interesting horse. I'm still studying my superfecta, looking for a horse to put in there with most Ortiz up at 20-1 with Pletcher. Usually likes to get in the exotics here. And basically, I'm 3-for-3 on Derby Pie at Churchill, if that stat factors into this at all.
I think it absolutely does. And this is a true story. I was at the Derby a few years ago, and we were at a restaurant, and I said to the waitress, "What's in Derby Pie?" And she said, "It's chocolate and pie." So there you go. Those are the ingredients of Derby Pie.
Two of the greatest things in the world.
I really didn't know what pie was. So anyway. 17 is the local hopeful Irish War Cry for Graham Motion and Isabel Di Tommaso, New Jersey bred, Maryland-based. All kinds of good things there. Rajiv Mirage in the irons, son of Curlin. And I think Nick is our resident Curlin fan here. What do you think about Irish War Cry, Nick?
Yeah, that was eventually – it's funny you bring that up. That that may have been the deciding factor for me in separating him from Always Dreaming. In the end, it might just be the breeding. An impressive winner of the Wood in New York. He had that, you know, as they all have in this field, that I'm not sure even Graham Motion knows what went wrong in the Fountain of Youth. He probably has a few ideas, but he hadn't said that much about it. Whatever went wrong, he corrected it. And just an impressive performance in the Wood. So I like the breeding. It kind of, I think what I've seen at Churchill and the rain might kind of change all that. You know, it's going to be interesting if they ever do get that track fast on Saturday, you know, how it's running. If they ran the Derby before the rain, I would have felt a lot better about Irish War Cry, just the way the track was playing with the bias. But I kind of like where being on the outside there. You know, Mirage has had a great year. So the only thing that I didn't really like, I don't like betting May Foles. I still think that's kind of a significant feature of derbies, you know, this time of derby horses this time of year, when they're foaled, because that could be, there would be a lot of difference between a January foal and a May foal. You know, that's still about, you know, a sixth or a fifth of their life at this point. So I'm a little bit concerned, but that's about it. You know, I have a little more confidence in Graham Motion. He won the Derby with Animal Kingdom, of course, and I just kind of think it was hard to separate him, but that's who I ended up with. Irish War Cry. Sorry, go ahead, Bill.
I can verify Mr. Hahn's performance with all curling things. I've seen the man drink more mint juleps than anybody can possibly drink in one day at the Derby. So he is a curling fan.
Good thing they're not strong at the Derby. I make them a little stronger at home.
But they are expensive. Random fun fact, Irish War Cry, only runner here to have 2 triple-digit buyers to his name. So that, for whatever that's worth, there's a little factoid. Trying to be the first Jersey bred since 1934 to win the Kentucky Derby. That was Cavalcade. Other fun.
You owe Andy Beyer $10 to say that on the podcast.
I think Beyer owes me $10 for saying it, you mean.
He's the only man that misses twin trifectas.
he'll likely need a triple-digit buyer to win the Derby. I mean, he'll probably need a third.
Yep, usually does. The 18-horse Gormley, a John Sheriff's trainee, was the narrow winner of the Santa Anita Derby, also has the Sham, also won the Front Runner. He's got 3 graded stakes, wins to his name. John Sheriff knows how to get a horse ready for a big spot. Victor Espinosa knows how to win the Kentucky Derby, which he's done umpteen times at this point. This horse is 15-1 and really has not yet run fast enough to beat these horses. What do you think about Gormley, Linda?
Thumbs down on Gormley. I thought the Santa Anita Derby was an incredibly weak race this year. And even though I love John Sheriff's and I love his sire Malibu Moon, I'm not betting him at all. I don't really like this horse.
You're not betting him. Even with Bill's money, you wouldn't bet him?
No.
Hey, you haven't given Linda a horse under 15-1.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? And there aren't any left. So I guess we're going to have to wait for her wisdom when she picks the winner here, because she doesn't get to talk about any good horses. Sorry about that, Linda.
Oh, that's okay.
Bill, appropriately enough, practical joke. What do you think? Winner of the Champagne.
Oh, Champagne. I think good of it. I think highly of Champagne and Mimosas on Sunday, but not on Saturday here. Although Chad Brown will win the Kentucky Derby Sunday. Joe Lozario, red hot, won 3 races at Churchill this, you know, this little, what do they call it, third day, the big dousted third day. So he won 3 races there, and this red hot, just 3 straight losses to Derby contenders, and just no career wins beyond a mile. So I believe the Derby's still a mile and a quarter.
I believe you're correct about that. And finally, we got – sorry.
Well, calling me anything practical would be also a violation of Stewart and of Stewart's objection.
Am I going to get taken down for this one?
You might if you keep giving Linda 15 ones and more.
Well, at least I'm not giving her the closing 30-1 horse, which is the one-eyed wonder horse by Union Rags, Patch. Nick, what do you think about Patch?
Yeah, it's kind of funny looking at Lee. Drew the one. He's about the only horse that could handle that post, and Patch, you know, draws the 20. I forget who I was talking to this morning. We were trying to figure out which eye that he actually has, because that can actually make a big difference whether, you know, so I guess when they put blinkers on, do they just put one on? I'm not sure how that works, but
he wears an eye patch like a pirate.
Does he really?
No,
I did not know that. Oh, I don't know. But I think he has little shot in this race. That close, but just don't see the appeal.
For the record, he's missing his left eye.
So when he comes out of the gate, he'll hear 19 horses beside him. I'm not sure he'll see them. I'm not sure they ever see him, but it's just a little.
But on the positive note, from the 20th post, he will see all the ladies in the nice hats when he goes by on the right.
And he may be running slow enough to get a good gander as he does it. So there are also two also eligibles, probably not going to draw in, the 21 Royal Mo, 20-1, 22 Master Plan, 50-1. Anybody want to say anything about either of these horses? I have nothing to say about them. Anyone? Bueller?
Well, I'd like to see Gary Stevens get in the Derby, but Gary Stevens couldn't find him out in the top 20 there. If Royal Mo does get in, he definitely can handle a wet surface, so you know, he's definitely the better one out of the Master Plan. Master Plan needs to head to the Pennsylvania Derby. Isn't the Pennsylvania Derby $1 million now?
Yeah, on grade one.
There you go.
All right, that's Royal Mo Master Plan. That's the 20-horse field for the grade one $2 million mile and a quarter Kentucky Derby. Let's switch over to picks here. You're listening to the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz about the Kentucky Derby. We've got Derby Bill Watson, Nick Hahn, Linda Doherty talking Kentucky Derby. And Bill, let's start with you here. So I believe what we heard earlier is Gunavera is the answer to the question of who will win the Kentucky Derby. Is that accurate?
Yes, I'm brushing up on my villains willing, but Gunavera works for me.
Gunavera works for you. And what do you think here? I mean, what's your take on how this race unfolds that he gets the money?
Well, I think it's going to come down to, as Nick said, if the weather could be a factor in the giving the closers a final chance at the Derby, which usually doesn't happen. You don't really see too many closers ripping into a Derby win unless it's a field like this, which anybody can win. So I'm favoring some of the horses, late runners in this race with stamina, and that's Gunavera. Always Dreaming. I've even got the Sheikh Mohammed Abdul, Prime Minister of Dubai's horse, Thunder Snow, coming late with Irish Roy War Cry, and I'm still looking for some more, and I'm still picking up aluminum cans so I can pay for it.
I'll send some your way. Linda, what about you? Where are you going to end up on the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I'm going to go with Irish War Cry. There's a number of things in play with this horse that I have to bet him. First of all, I think I'm one of the biggest Grand Motion groupies there are. Every single day I look to see who Graham is in. He's actually the only trainer I really like to bet, dirt or turf. So he's got my favorite trainer. He's a Jersey bred, which I am also, and I follow the circuit pretty closely. He was owned and bred by Amory L. Haskell's daughter, which is really neat. And also I'm a big Carlin fan. And so it all adds up to I'm picking him on top. But I do like Gunavera. I mean, I wanted to say that I really like that horse. I think his running style, though, you know, some coming down the stretch, you see some of these Derby horses slowing to a walk. And when they stop dead in front of you, I mean, I don't know how far back they're going to have him. But that's going to, to me, be a little bit of a hindrance for him. And but I am going to use him in my triple. And then I also like Thunder Snow. And Thunder Snow is kind of a handy horse. When he won that Dubai race, he was sitting right off the pace. So those are my top three: Irish War Cry, Gunavera, and Thunder Snow.
Man, all this agreement. Nick, could you disagree here? Can you pick some different horses?
I really can't. I settled on Irish War Cry. I think for reasons Linda said, I just kind of have a little bit more trust in Motion in terms of his training ability and having a horse ready. He's certainly experienced in doing so. I'm going to form tickets. I was kind of surprised as I went through the field today. It kind of came down to three horses for me. It came up to Irish War Cry, Always Dreaming, and McCracken. And I thought I'd have kind of, you know, a dilemma trying to get horses on top, but I really do think one of those three horses will win it. And so I can take a trifecta ticket. I think I can take a little bit more of a stand on top. Usually, you know, in the Derby, you can play like that big trifecta ticket with the 20 horses. I think it's going to be a very broad base. I'll probably have as many as 10 or 11 horses in the third leg and try and narrow up the second leg a little bit. But I really do think those, it's good to have a broad base and all those exotics, your superfecta, even in your exactas. You know, use a lot of these horses in the second leg, because it's one thing. If the Derby trail taught us one thing, we know that the Derby won't go to form this year. So there could be a bit of a surprise that shows up in that second or third spot, maybe one of those 50-1s, you know, that Linda had to handicap tonight.
Nobody on earth will know more about the 50-1 horses than Linda does. It's interesting. I was just looking over the selections you guys made, and you all named 10 horses in your picks, but there are only actually four horses. I mean, you overlapped on you know, a lot of love for Irish War Cry, love for Gunavera, and both Thunder Snow and Always Dreaming showing up in a couple of people's selections, and those are all, you know, kind of the, you know, for the most part, the logical horses. Who are the ones that you think might, if the triple or the super or even the exacta gets blown up, who do you guys think might be the horse that you'd be looking at to blow it up? Linda, do you have a horse like that?
Sonneteer. I know he's amazing, like I said, but I like that horse. I think, you know, he may have a shot at a big price.
Well, he's another one who figures to be running late into a slowing pace, so that may work. Nick, what about you?
I think Gormley might be the price at 15-1, the Santa Anita Derby winner. I know there was a little bit of bad luck out there with Mastery and Iliad you know, arriving on the Derby scene at Churchill. But, you know, I think that's a horse, you know, there's a lot of karma from the West Coast in the Derby. Jerry Moss, you know, certainly is knows how to win a big race. So I think, you know, 15, you know, horses like that, you can't be surprised if they end up second, you know, in the exacta or something. A horse like Practical Joke, you know, might slip in there. It never seems to run a bad race, but yeah, I think Gormley might be the deal. I just couldn't find enough horses to get out of his way to move them higher up.
What about you, Bill? Any horse you think could blow up the tote board? Had the chance to?
Well, obviously the possibly Looking in Lee would be an absolute bomb coming in from the one hole to get in the money, but I believe Bodemeister ran out of the one hole and almost won the Derby, so it's not impossible. But this is a course that'll probably go into the first turn in 18th or 19th place, and but the price will be right. You'll get, you know, you're looking at least 25-1 or more of the long shots there. Fun Traps also similar like that, 25-30-1 type horse, and I don't have a horse under 8-1 in my official Derby odds.
It's certainly a wide open affair, and even if the favorite wins, you're probably going to make decent money on it. So, it's
One thing about Thunder Snow too, why everybody seems to like him a little bit. He ran for once they got a whole horse. The UAA, his UAA Derby win was on a wet surface, and he set the track record over there. So we've seen some good American horses go over there and win big. So. One of these days, the Sheik's going to win the Derby, and he's going to buy Colonial Downs and bring on over some Dubai horses.
Well, I mean, Thunder Snow has been perfect since they changed jockeys there. I mean, just the jockeys seem to get well along with the horse, and that's something you like to see, too.
I agree with those points, although I would say, this feels like a lot to ask of a three-year-old. The horse that raced in Britain and France as a two-year-old, then Dubai, now he's over here. It's just a lot to have asked a young horse to do all the things.
Have you ever flown on Emmett's airline?
That's true. He's probably in first class. He probably flies better than I do. Maybe it's not so hard after all.
He's in a massage therapy tub flying across the Atlantic Ocean. This horse, his quarantine is watching the hot stewardesses walk down up and down the aisle.
It all comes back to that, doesn't it, Bill? All right, so let's last kind of question. What kind of – are you guys going to be looking at multi-race wagers? Are you looking at vertical exotics? I mean, what kind of – how do you intend to bet this race and the surrounding races? Nick, why don't you lead off?
I mentioned the trifecta and kind of getting broad in the base there. I always like the Oaks. I wish racing would do more of this. I kind of like the Oaks Derby double, the multi-day. Maybe handicappers and racing secretaries don't like it because you do have things like rain and stuff like that get in the way. But I always like that bet. The pick three bet with the Woodford is – a way I'm going to look at it too. And I'm feeling real good about the three horses that I ended up with. When I first looked at, how I would play like the Oaks double or the pick three, I was thinking, I better go narrow on these front legs. So I have four or five horses in the back. I feel pretty good about that. So it allows you to go maybe deeper, and you might need it on Soaks Day tomorrow, because who knows what happens when you add rain to the Oaks race. So, I'm going to be kind of narrow. I'm going to stick by those three in all my exotic wagers.
Linda, what about you? How are you? You were telling us before, but how are you planning to play this?
I'm definitely playing Irish War Cry to win. I'm going to be playing around with the trifecta. I'm also playing an Oaks Derby double. I like Abel Talisman, the Baffert horse in the Oaks. I think Paradise Woods got the best of her the last time, but I just think she can rebound. And also, I just wanted to say a word about Always Dreaming. I know he may even go off the post-time favorite, but if you were paying attention this past week to some of the stuff he's been doing in the morning. I don't know whether he acted that way in Florida. I don't know whether that's normal for this horse, but if he's totally coming unglued in the morning at Churchill, I mean, that's why I don't like him. I think he's going to be take a lot of money, and he may just come unglued, in front of that Derby crowd. So I'm not using him in my supers. I just don't think he's going to hit the board.
Yeah, I tend to the thing that concerned me about Always Dreaming. I'm worried about how wet he might look in that post parade. If he's not wet, that'll be obviously a great sign. But I'm going to be paying attention to him the way in that post parade for sure.
Yeah. And they even put draw reins on them. They try to slow them down. They're trying a lot of things in the morning to keep them under control.
Yeah, no, he's certainly been a handful. You're exactly right about that. What about you, Bill? What are you going to be looking at?
Well, you know, I'd bet with two cockroaches and tie them in a daily double if I could. the Oaks Derby double, as Nick said, is fascination, and it ties 2 days together, which is what racing needs more of. They used to do one up your way called the Meadowlands and the Haskell double, which was a harness race and a thoroughbred race, intertwining both the interest mm-hmm. in wager. So I'm for all these races, all these exotic type wagering adding more interest to the Oaks Day there with the Woodford Reserve. The pick three thing that Nick said is good. But, you know, Derby Day, they only have a dollar superfecta, which obviously is for the people that are there live that can't get their 10-cent bets in. So it's a dollar superfecta. So that sways me away from the superfecta a little bit, unless they let me bet in advance somewhere offshore or something. You know, 50-cent pick four usually is guaranteed for $1 million on Derby Day. So the 9th, 10th, and 11th leads into the Derby. So those four nationally televised races pretty much generates the biggest pool, the pick four, and it's 50 cent for that one. It's a 50 cent cheapstake one. So, you know, I like that.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Derby Bill Watson, Linda Dougherty, Nick Hahn. Anybody want to offer final thoughts?
Oh, well, one quick thought. I'll be watching the race at the Virginia Gold Cup, the largest assemblage of people that'll watch the Derby off track. About 70,000 fans watching the steeplechase racing, and they got the simulcast car to Churchill all day long, and you can bet the Derby card out there as well. So, interesting place. I've grown to like it. You know, the Derby, you generally make all your bets early anyway. You want to make sure you get them in. You don't want to spend your day waiting in line. And so if anyone gets the opportunity one year to watch the races at the Gold Cup, I can highly recommend it.
All right. That's Nick Hahn going to be at the Gold Cup. Derby Bill, where are you going to be?
I'm going to have the Gold Cup. And it will be full of Woodford Reserve, the official beverage of the Kentucky Derby. And I'll have a few of them, and parking is free where I'm watching the Derby. So things are looking a little bleak compared to spending it out there with, obviously, with betting the 10 horse. I wish I was at the Kentucky Derby because I could ask Bo Derek for some advice on the 10 horse.
And what about you, Linda? Where are you going to be Derby Day?
my Derby Day is much less exciting. I'm going to be in front of my computer screen, and then I have my TV tuned to NBC, and then I just spend the whole day doing that. I having attended the Derby for a number of years, I just don't like crowds anymore. I just prefer to stay home and load up my TwinSpires account and go to town.
And if, for the record, none of what anybody has been saying here has been product placements, although lots of products are getting plugged. All right, guys, we're going to get played out. You won't hear it, but we're going to get played out to the strains of Maryland, My Maryland, will be played into my old Kentucky home and out, pointing to the Preakness. Good luck to all of you. Thanks for sharing your picks with us here on Off to the Races, and I hope you all get richer by the end of this weekend. And all thy slumbers with the just Maryland, my Maryland.